Gracious God, our Father in heaven, a great privilege it is, Lord, where we are able to be in thy house and to have thy word before us and to have anticipation, Lord, that thy spirit would speak to us and that we might grow in thee and strengthen our faith and, Lord, walk a closer walk with thee and lift up thy name and glorify thee. Father, there are those here that do not know thee yet. Father, we pray thee that thou wouldst draw them with thy love and with, Lord, thy compassion for them as well. And so we just look to thee in this evening hour. May thy presence be real in our lives, and may we have a meaningful gathering together in this evening, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For this evening, let's turn and read together from Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. An high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of every one that is hasty, only to want. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them, because they refuse to do judgment. The way of man is forward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. The soul of the wicked desireth evil, his neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise, and when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. The wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous, and the transgressor for the upright. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty, and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination, how much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? A false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. A wicked man hardeneth his faith, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ said, I always do those things that please the Father. And as that was what Jesus Christ did, so we as Christians, followers of Christ, ought to have that same thought and orientation in life, that we do always those things that please the Father. The way that we would please the Father has to be through intentionality. We have to be intentional in our way of living, in our thought processes, in what we do in pleasing our Father. And that comes through temperance. And so there's the what and there's the how. The what is, I do always those things which please the Father. And how? Through intentional, being intentional on practicing temperance in serving God. Always doing what God would have us to do. And so that's a fruit of the Spirit is temperance. And basically temperance would mean practicing habitual self-control or self-discipline. And so as we go through life and we want to exercise the fruit of the Spirit, the Spirit would speak to us and would work through us, and then the deeds of the Spirit would be manifest in our lives, and that would be one of temperance as well, that we would have that habitual self-control, doing what God would have us to do. So as Jesus Christ says, I do always those things that please the Father, as a personal mission statement of ours as well, should likewise be, as Christians, I do always those things that please the Father. So, it takes great effort on our part. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 that we ought to give all diligence, meaning tremendous effort or painstaking effort, that we would add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. This temperance of disciplining ourselves, or bringing ourselves into subjection to the Father and subjection to the Spirit, that we would do what He would have us to do. And so we read how the Apostle Paul also spoke of that as well, that he says that he puts under his body and brings it into subjection. Or it's not quite the way it would flow in normal English. The King James Version is a little different, but it says, but basically he's saying, I put in subjection, in submission, my body. I put under my body. I put my body under, bring it into subjection. It's to be submissive. He was speaking there earlier about how those that prepare for a race, and we know that there are those that prepare for a marathon, that it takes a lot of effort, a lot of physical effort, of bringing their bodies to the training necessary to perform that race. But the Apostle Paul says that's for a corruptible crown. But we do it for an incorruptible crown. And so the way that we can exercise the fruit of the Spirit of temperance and having that self-control is by bringing our bodies into subjection, by putting our bodies in submission. And then it's not only our bodies, but our thoughts as well. The Apostle Paul says, I bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. So what we're thinking about and what we allow our bodies to do all has to be brought into subjection of the Holy Spirit. It has to reflect that the Holy Spirit is alive and directing us in all ways. And as we do that, we will be exercising that fruit of the Spirit. That fruit of the Spirit will make itself manifest of temperance. And so with our minds, we're bringing it into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. We know that each of our struggles start in the mind. It's what we're thinking about. And our thoughts have to be aligned with the Spirit. And so the Apostle Paul says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, of a good report, virtuous, if there be any praise, think on these things. These are what we're supposed to corral our thoughts to with that self-discipline of temperance, to that we would think upon these things, that then what we do or what we say is in line with the Spirit. If we allow ourselves liberties, we will not bring our mind into subjection. We will not bring it to the obedience of Christ. And so it takes effort on our part, that diligence on our part, to be thinking about what God would have us to think about. These things that are true, honest, just, lovely, pure, of good report. The Word of God is pure. Heaven is lovely. These are the things that God wants us to focus on. So as we focus on these things, God is working in us. His Spirit is alive and working within us, and we are shining His light. And then as we read a chapter, as we read this evening of Proverbs, we can see the contrast of those who exercise temperance in their lives and those that don't. Again, it takes intentionality. It takes an effort on our part to do what God would have us to do, to bring our bodies into subjection, to bring our thoughts into the captivity of the obedience of Christ, that then we can do always those things that please our Heavenly Father. So we'll go through some of these verses here in Proverbs 21 and speak to them in light of exercising the fruit of temperance. Verse number 2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. We all have a thought, we all have experiences in our lives. We all go through certain things, and what we go through is unique to us all individually. What I have experienced in my life, the things that I encountered, and to the level of intensity that I encountered them, is unique to me. Not my family, not anyone close to me has ever experienced the things that are unique to me. And that's true of every one of us, that we all have experiences in our lives that are unique to each of us individually. And so we think of life through that lens. And so when we have a thought, we think of that way is right. And so the Bible here is saying that every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Every man believes that the way I see things, the way I've experienced them, this is right. This is right and good. But he says, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. The Lord knows whether we are bringing into subjection our bodies. The Lord knows if we are having our thoughts centered around Jesus Christ. The Lord knows and ponders and sees our hearts whether we are doing those things always that please the Father. We can all have our unique experiences. We can all see life through the lens of which we see them. But it all has to point to Jesus Christ. It all has to point to Him. And so whatever our experiences have been in life, we all need to subject ourselves to the Spirit and serve Him. God did not make us all one and the same. And God's not desirous that we would have everyone look at life through our own particular lens or through our own particular experiences. God gave us each unique experiences. And so that's why we would think that our way is right in our own eyes. But ours is to subdue the body, practice temperance, bring our minds into the purity of His Word, and do the things that please Jesus Christ. There's a proverb also that says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. His own ways, his own thoughts, his own opinions, his own desires. He's filled with that. That's the way of a man. This is what Solomon is teaching here, is that a man is filled with his own ways, but when he's filled with his own ways, he becomes a backslider in heart. And then the verse continues on and says, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. A good man will recognize that We all have our unique experiences, and we all have a desire to serve the Lord, and that will be unique to each and every one of us. How we submit to the Lord, how we serve the Lord, how we yield ourselves to Him, how we subject our bodies unto Him and our thoughts to Him. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. God wants us to give unto Him our hearts, and that we would then do that which would be right and good, justice and judgment, right and good to Him. And that's more important than a sacrifice that we would bring. He also continues on and says, a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked, it's sin. Again, this is one who would not practice temperance, one that would have a high look to think of the way of man, of the way of himself as very important and valuable in his own eyes, and the proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked. The plowing of the wicked, the disruption and the destruction that the wicked cause. In Ecclesiastes, it says that one sinner destroys much good. Even though wisdom is mightier than an army, one sinner destroys much good. And here it's saying that the plowing of the wicked, it does so much damage. There's so much disruption there. There's so much disturbance. And that, again, is one of, as Brother Bob prayed, is that Satan wants to simply destroy things. And he doesn't care how he does it. It doesn't matter by what means he causes disruption and destruction, just as long as there is destruction. And that's the plowing of the wicked. That's all sin. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. The thoughts of the diligent, those that are keeping their thoughts on the Word of God, those who are keeping themselves directed by the Holy Spirit, that leads to plenteousness. God blesses us. Again, we'll be satisfied from ourselves, that our needs aren't continuously growing and greater as time goes on, that we want more and we want more, but we'll be satisfied from ourselves. And so as we labor in the Lord and are diligent in His ways, that leads to plenteousness. But everyone that is hasty of spirit, or hasty only to want, only to having a great need, to suffering deprivation. The way of a man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. The way of man. Again, here it is, the way of man. The way of man is right in his own eyes. And here he's saying, the Bible is saying, that the way of man is froward and it's strange. Froward is not a term or word we use typically today, but it's one that's one that's very difficult to be with, one that's very contentious, a froward person. And so the Bible here is saying that's the way of man. It's difficult to be around, and it's strange. But it says, but as for the pure, his work is right. That as we align our lives and our minds to focus on that which is pure, there in Philippians 4:8, that as we would focus upon that which is pure, that the Bible here says that his work is right. His work is good. It's well-pleasing to the Lord. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That as our motives and our desires are aligned with the Word of God and aligned with His Spirit as He would direct us, that the work would be right and glorify God. Verse number 9 and 19 go together. It says that it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. 19 says almost the same thing. It's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Here it's using the female term, but it's true of all peoples. It's not that it would be true of one gender and not of the other. It's true of both genders. There's no one that, just as it is that a man doesn't want to dwell with a brawling woman, neither does a woman want to dwell with a brawling man. And so as the scriptures are saying here, that no one wants to be with one who lacks temperance, who lacks self-control, and just becomes a difficult person to dwell with. No one wants to spend that much time or any time with somebody who strives and is argumentative and angry. There's no one that wants to dwell with a person like that. And so as we exercise then that fruit of the spirit of temperance, we bring our spirits into control, that we would never be a contentious person, that we would never be a brawler or even difficult to be around. The Spirit wouldn't direct us in that way. The New Testament says that the servant of the Lord must not strive. The servant of the Lord must not strive. We must not be argumentative or contentious people. That cannot be manifest as one that is living by the direction of the Holy Spirit. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. A righteous man will see from examples that are bad. A righteous man will see that, and it seems that every neighborhood has them, a house where there's just simply a lack of discipline, there's a lack of any rule or order, it just becomes, you can see the destruction that follows with that. So a wise man learns from those that do wicked. They wisely consider those that do wickedly. It says, "Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself and shall not be heard." If we exercise ourselves in that spirit of temperance, and know that there are those that do have need, and that as we give and exercise that gift of giving, that the Lord will bless us through that. It is a joy to the just to do judgment. It's a joy to those that are right or just to do that which would be good. As we, as God's children, as we see opportunities to make a difference, a positive difference in the lives of others, that's a joy. That's a joy. That's not a burden. That doesn't mean like, oh, this is going to be a sacrifice on my part. No, it's simply a joy. It's a joy that we, as God's children, are able to do that which is good and makes a positive difference in the lives of others. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man, and he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. That we can see over and over. The consumerism and the materialism in this world, it seems to have no limits. It's just pleasure after pleasure, and a greater pleasure after a greater pleasure, and they become a poor person. And he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. The abundance of this life shouldn't move us. We should be content with whatever God has given unto us. As the Apostle Paul says, "I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content." This is what God wants of us, is to have that spirit of contentment, that we rein in our desire and the desires of the flesh and of the body and of the mind, that we rein that all in, and that we would become satisfied and content in the Lord. There was an experiment that was done a long time ago in a laboratory where there was a mouse that was hooked up to something in his mind that when he bumped a button with his nose, a sensation of pleasure would go to his brain. And what happened in the course of time was that mouse died of starvation, because he just simply went to that button all the time and pressed that button to get that sensation of pleasure. It's no different with man. Man, if we leave ourselves to be not self-disciplined, that we would simply just go for pleasure continuously. Continuously, we would just go for pleasure and pleasure until we died as well. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. Again, if our mission statement, if our personal mission statement in is life is to do always those things that please the Father, we will be fulfilling righteousness and mercy, even as Jesus Christ came here to fulfill righteousness and mercy. And then as we do that which Jesus Christ has done, we will find life and righteousness and honor. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. We know this to be a truth, and there's not much that really needs to be said on this. We know that our mouth gets us in more trouble than what we would desire. But here he's saying here, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. It takes intentionality, it takes temperance, it takes self-discipline to do that. James makes that very clear. He says, if a man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. There's no point in this man having a religion because his tongue isn't bridled. His tongue isn't brought into temperance. His tongue isn't brought into subjection by the Holy Spirit. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. This is not the way of man, but this is the way of God. This is the way of God. This is how we are directed by His Holy Spirit. This is how temperance is alive within us. This is how we are displaying the fruit of temperance, is by keeping our minds into the captivity of the obedience of Jesus Christ and keeping our bodies in subjection. One more verse here we'll consider. A false witness shall perish, but the man that speaketh, the man that heareth, speaketh constantly. So here it is, a false witness, one who continually just speaks forth, and it's false. It's false what's being spoken. That man shall perish. The Bible says so. That man shall perish. His witness shall perish. It's a false witness. But the man that heareth, he speaketh constantly. What a strong, powerful witness when we see one who hears, who's listening, who isn't explaining, well, see life through my lens. Come see things my way. He's not doing that. This man is hearing. And as he's listening, with a concerned heart, that's speaking volumes. And so that's what the Bible here is saying. The man that heareth, he speaketh constantly. It's a strong, powerful witness. There are beautiful proverbs here, and many can be shared, and much could be spoken on them. But I'd like to conclude with two verses in Proverbs contrasting different spirits that rule a man. Here is a verse that describes a man that does not rule his own spirit, that does not practice self-discipline. He that hath no rule over his spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. A destroyed city, an abandoned city. It's like a ghost town. It's dysfunctional. There's no effectiveness in this city. Neither is there any effectiveness in a man that hath no rule over his own spirit. In a man that will not bring his body into subjection. In a man who will not bring his thoughts to the captivity of the obedience of Christ. But There is a verse here that speaks powerfully, and perhaps we can consider this as we go home this evening. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Slow to anger, and he that ruleth his own spirit. That is doing what would please the Father always. This is a manifestation of the exercising of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When we are slow to anger, and when we rule our spirit by the Holy Spirit. Amen.
As we consider the fruit of the spirits, fruit of the Spirit, we heard much this evening of being temperate in our lives. And so when we're temperate, we have a tendency to want to follow after righteousness, because we have self-control. And so we read in verse 21, he that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. So, in seeking God's Holy Spirit and guidance in our life and the fruit of the Spirit, and we maintain temperance, the result will be to find life, righteousness, and honor. Amen.